Agencies are struggling to find a good way to ensure employees have access to only the information they are supposed to have access to. Now, one could be close to a solution. The Air Force is launching a pilot program to test role-based authentication. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us with details. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Jason, what is the Air Force doing?
So the idea that the Air Force has taken on is how can they have enterprise security approach that is based on roles and responsibilities? So, you know, the basic theory behind that is Emily Kopp should have access to data in database X, and Jason Miller should have access to data in database Y. How do we make sure that Jason can't see the data that Emily has access to if he's not allowed to, and vice versa? And that's really the theory behind this idea of a role-based authentication program. Now, Frank Konechny is the Air Force's chief technology officer. He says as agencies move to a web services approach to networks where applications place what they call a call to a database and pulls data back to the user, how do they need to authenticate? That need is actually growing. Now, I caught up with Konechny about the pilot program after he spoke earlier this week at the Brocade Federal Forum in Washington.
The pilot we started about a year ago right now, and we have a system integrator actually doing it. We're actually in testing right now in a MilCloud environment that we're trying to actually connect a real app to it right now to validate it. It's based on attributes for each individual, and in the sense that as soon as the person's attributes would change, their role changes, and we automatically authenticate or provide authentication for particular access to data or particular systems right now. And so as we progress down the path, what you're going to see is that all new systems are going to have this type of authorization access control added to them, because we need to get to the point where we actually are defending the data. That's really one of the big rocks in GIE is identity management, and we want to make sure that that's one of the ones that we're working on right now. And we've actually pushed this into the GIE framework as one of the frameworks that they should consider for identity management in GIE.
And this is different, obviously, than the Common Access Card. This will include the CAC, but this is above and beyond that, correct?
Right. The CAC is for authentication as to who you are. This system authorizes you to actually get to the data. So that's the big difference between the two.
And then going forward, what's the pilot's underway? You're about to test for on a specific app. Where do you see this going? Are we 10 months away? Are we a year away? Are we longer from rolling this out to more and more apps?
We're probably only about half a year away. So we're trying to get it into production mode probably at the beginning of next year. And as we progress, we're requiring all apps to go there. So right now we're looking at compatibility of new apps to actually work with it when it becomes production-wise.
So far, as you've gone through the pilot a little bit, and I know you mentioned that you're just about to test it out, has there been any specific challenges that you can talk to as it relates to maybe where other agencies can say, oh, we would have that same challenge, or that's something we need to keep in mind as we're looking at this role-based authentication type of technology?
As we actually talk to the other components and get some use cases from them, we find that when we go to a tactical environment, because you really can't connect to the centralized location for information. So there has to be a way of moving it out, keeping it updated as a tactical environment via SATCOM or something, or actually having them run by themselves and have some administration rights at that point in time.
Is the reason why you guys are doing this is partly because of the cybersecurity issues, but is this just a part of the growth of network security that you're seeing over the next year or so?
It's really a change to data security. I mean, we see network security work, and we still have network security, but we're trying to guard the data more than anything now, because that's what the bad guys actually want to get after. They want to exfiltrate it or change it, and that's the real threat vector that we're up against right now.
Because obviously the idea is you can do your best to keep people outside the network, but that is always changing. There's always new threats. So it's just that change of viewpoint of saying, can we keep the data secure, and what data needs more security than less security? Is that, do you think, a change of mindset, not just at the Air Force, but maybe across DOD?
Yeah, it's really across DOD. Everybody has that same problem right now and how they're going to guard the data. So I think that you're going to see more systems, or at least some framework of an integrated system actually being used.
Are you in communications with other services, whether Army or DISA or somebody who's working with you on this? Or are you guys doing kind of a pilot on your own and then you'll share best practices?
We've been sharing the pilot with everybody. Actually, we're trying to test it in MilCloud, which is the DISA GIA offering. And also we're going to probably test it in the test CDC that this is establishing. Although the services know about this, we've actually pushed this into GIE as a framework in which to proceed. So, yes, we've gotten inputs from all the services, and we'll continue to do so, especially since we have special use cases that they have.
Now, you heard Konechny talk about this thing called the JIE a lot. The JIE is the Joint Information Environment. This is the umbrella term that DoD is using to address standards and consolidation and information sharing across all military services and agencies. Now, Konechny says part of the reason for this bigger focus on data security comes from how computer networks are morphing. He says, you know, at the Air Force alone, the network now includes airplanes and satellites and even drones. And he says the Air Force wants to make sure that they can get move toward a single unified network, so that needs to be managed as an entity. Now, Konechny says under the JIE framework, network management comes back to the applications because that's where the mission gets done.
We're at the base. You can have mission essential applications only. And they are connected via network to the base, so that if the major communication goes out into the JIE WAN, if you will, that the base can still operate. Base operations for the Air Force is like the Air Operations Center. So this is where they communicate accordingly with the airplanes and everything else. So this network is much larger than you think it is, even though we say it's just sitting on the base. It's an extension of the base into the real atmosphere out there, into whatever it goes. Also, you have to think of it in terms of the drone sending information back. We have lots of ISR videos coming in, petabytes of data per second. So that's part of the network. And how does that be affected by anything that we do?
Now, Konechny says the Air Force also has to consider both cyber and kinetic attacks against their data centers and what that would do to its network. So it just adds another layer to this. Okay, they've always been worried about cybersecurity. But what happens, really, if someone attacks them with a bomb or some other kind of kinetic attack? And that's also playing into how they're planning this kind of new network architecture over the next, you know, couple years.
Okay. So that's not something, I should say, we're speaking with Jason Miller, Federal News Radio's executive editor. Agencies aren't facing quite the same challenge, but they do have their own hurdles to overcome, don't they?
No, absolutely, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of this changing view of this network is really affecting every agency, whether it's the Air Force or whether it's DOD or whether it's any civilian agency. Let me give you one example. At the Federal Communications Commission, the amount of data and comments it receives has been just growing tremendously over the last few years. John Skodarlik is the deputy CIO at the FCC. He says the commission recently implemented a virtual desktop initiative, and that VDI was actually put to the test last week at the recent Africa summit that happened in Washington.
Some of the events were held at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, which is just on the backside of our facility. So probably like a lot of other folks, the leadership made a decision that if people wanted to take leave on Tuesday or telework, that would be a really good time to do it. Our volume coming in to the network from outside, from our internal customers, quintupled from what we're normally seeing. And I can tell you how well the network was performing, and I was actually at work that day because I'm a glutton for punishment. So I was kind of the on-scene guy when we started having questions about how's everything going. And the truth is that the network held up. You know, we were monitoring it very carefully, and utilization rates, which, you know, are normally considerably lower, were much higher up on the continuum.
Ms. Kudlarik says the FCC received also a million comments to its open internet or net neutrality proposed rule. That was another big test for its network, and the network actually held up well under that influx of data. Over at the Postal Service, they're more similar to the Air Force, where they're trying to get kind of a handle on a huge network that goes across the country. John Edgar is the vice president of IT for the Postal Service. He says UPS has 35,000 physical endpoints across the country, so it's very much a hybrid environment, meaning lots of different operating systems, lots of different technology that are all being brought together. Edgar says moving the network to the cloud creates both opportunities and challenges.
The whole pattern of how you allow people to access those applications in the different environments changes, and the networking requirements that go along with that change, and initially makes it much more complex, but the goal is to try to simplify it and make things easier for everybody to use and to get the service they need.
Now, USPS is currently implementing two different cloud systems, one from Salesforce and one from ServiceNow. Edgar says the Postal Service's focus is expanding its network to meet the changing business needs.
One of our major focuses right now is trying to move towards much more real-time usage of the data that we have in the organization and driving that down out to our supervisor levels and people out in the field through broader access to mobile devices and things like that. So we're trying to get out of the how did I do yesterday mode and move into more of a predictive analytics and prescriptive analytics model where we're able to use the data in the background, identify mail flow bottlenecks, transportation delays, things like that, and push real-time alerting or real-time performance measurement dashboards and systems out to our supervisors and our plant tour managers.
So as you can see, the network, that's it's just changing across the government, whether it's the Air Force, whether it's the FCC, whether it's the Postal Service. I think these are part of the growing pains when as agencies are moving to cloud computing, not just moving to cloud, like, for instance, email, but really going knee-deep into cloud. And I think as the technology changes and is being more broadly adopted, I think these types of challenges are starting to come up, because while they understood maybe the old network infrastructure that we had the data center and we ran the data center and we knew all the challenges, the cloud opens up just a tons of new doors. And I think this is what we're starting to see, is that agencies are starting to address those challenges.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thank you as always.
Thank you.